In this learning module, you will learn the 6 steps of giving effective demonstrations to increase your residents' or tenants' ADL independence. As you are aware, some residents need additional assistance in grasping a concept beyond mere verbal instruction, which was discussed in the last learning module. This is where demonstration, or showing a resident the ADL procedure, becomes a valuable tool for you. In order to do this, you have to break an ADL down into its separate steps or parts. For example, let's say you have a resident or tenant, Mildred, in the early stages of Alzheimer's, who has recently had a hip replacement. The transfer from her bed to her wheelchair involves several parts. 1. Scoot to the edge of the bed. 2. Sit on the edge of the bed and place her feet on the floor. 3. Push herself off the bed to stand. 4. Support her weight while standing. 5. Reach and grasp one armrest of the wheelchair positioned by her bed. 6. Pivot or turn. 7. Grasp the other armrest. And 8. Ease herself into the chair. Step 1 in demonstration of a transfer is, after you observe Mildred, decide if she would benefit from a demonstration or physical assistance. Here's an example how you make the decision whether to demonstrate or not. Let's say in the past Mildred has been able to do all parts of the transfer independently. But this morning, you observe her eyes are not as opened as they usually are, and instead of looking at you when you speak, she looks at the floor. When you ask her if she feels okay, Mildred states she was worrying about her daughter's visit and didn't sleep very well last night. Now, one extreme option you have upon noticing her disorientation, you could make the decision that she is completely unable to transfer, call for an assistant, and physically lift her into her chair. However, this obviously goes against your ALF's philosophy of independence, choice, and perhaps even dignity, since she merely seems temporarily lacking mental clarity. That does not, at this point, seem to warrant such an extreme measure. Of course, if there were a fire in the building, yes. But when you give too much assistance to a resident, you are giving them the message that they are incapable of performing the task themselves. Also, by placing Mildred in her chair, you may be taking away any ADL confidence she has built up over the months after her hip replacement. Question 1. When you give a resident too much assistance, you give them the message that they are what? Now, somewhere between total dependence and total independence, you have to make the decision how to find a happy medium. This morning, based upon your observation of Mildred's unusually foggy mental state, you decide to say to her, "Why don't you sit in bed for a little while longer, while you wake up a little more, Mildred? I'll be back in about 15 minutes." Mildred agrees. So you assist the resident in the next room to brush her hair. When you return, Mildred looks slightly more alert and states she doesn't want to miss breakfast and definitely wants in her wheelchair. Question 2. If you feel your resident needs a little extra time to get focused in the morning, you should what? So, you decide to start with verbal instruction in the form of some questions, because she still looks a little dazed. You ask, "Mildred, can you scoot to the edge of your bed and place your feet on the floor?" You observe that she's slower than usual and a little clumsy. She gets her feet slightly tangled in the sheets, so you assist by pulling the sheet and the cover out of her way. To reinforce her independence and provide an environment of success, you say, "Good job, Mildred. I know you don't feel the best this morning, and that took a lot of effort on your part to get to the edge of the bed." Since Mildred has had a stroke affecting her left side, you place her wheelchair on the right, unaffected side. However, instead of standing as in the past, she now sits on the edge of the bed, just staring into space with sort of a dazed, unfocused look in her eyes. She seems not to know what to do next. You really feel if you instruct her to get into the wheelchair, she might be at risk for a fall. Now, once again, you could physically assist her or call someone to help you, but keep in mind, ever since admission 2 months ago, she has performed this transfer with no physical assistance. In summary, step one in demonstration is, after you observe your resident's alertness level, decide between physical assistance, demonstration, or a combination of the two. Your decision to demonstrate or to show a resident rather than physically assist brings us to the core challenge any caregiver faces daily regarding ADLs. Your challenge is this: do you uphold the philosophy of your ALF to encourage your Mildred's independence, or play it safe and give physical assistance, which takes away independence? Now, of course, it goes without saying you can demonstrate and then give physical assistance too, as Mildred does the transfer. But it's kind of interesting. Oftentimes we merely give the physical assistance and never even give a thought to the option of giving a demonstration first. You make the judgment call. So, as an alternative to physical assistance, you say to Mildred, "Let me show you what to do. I know you've done this before." Question 3. The core challenge in any ALF is independence versus what? Step number 2 in demonstration is positioning. With Mildred, to position your demonstration of the transfer, you move her wheelchair towards the end of the bed, about 1 or 2 feet. Then you sit next to Mildred on her bed, after asking her permission. Now, regarding the positioning of your demonstration, all too often when we demonstrate, we may show the resident a task with an obstructed or blocked view or line of vision. To avoid this common error or problem, note Mildred's eyes and then look at the area you want her to observe. See if anything is in the way to prevent or obstruct her view. Now, interestingly enough, besides the edge of the bed, the arm of the wheelchair, the most common obstruction for this demonstration of a transfer is, ready for this, your own body. Oftentimes, we show a resident something and our back or arm or hand is blocking their line of view. So, position your demonstration, then check for an obstruction in the resident's line of sight. Question 4. In positioning your demonstration, the most common item obstructing the resident's view usually is what? Step number 3. In your demonstration, use single word instructions. You learned about giving single word instructions in Learning Module 2. The key to remember from that learning module is to use simple 1 or 2 word instructions as you demonstrate. In other words, after you explain or introduce what you're going to do by saying something like, "Mildred, I'm going to show you how to get into your wheelchair," limit what you say to 1 or 2 word instructions. A lot of chatter and long complicated sentences will be distracting and confusing for her. After you tell Mildred what you're going to demonstrate, limit your instruction to essential key words. What you say is stand, reach for the arm, turn, reach back for the other arm, sit. As you say these brief instructions, you demonstrate each step of the transfer. Question 5. Single word instruction during your demonstration is important because it does not what? In summary, thus far, you have observed the resident's alertness level and decided a demonstration would be beneficial. Then you have positioned your equipment for demonstration, in this case, Mildred's wheelchair. Then you have planned your single word instruction. You are now ready for step number 4, checking for understanding of your demonstration. While you are demonstrating, maintain as much eye contact with Mildred as possible. To check first of all if you have her attention and secondly for some sign of understanding, like a head nod or perhaps a knowing smile. If she appears to still be in a fog, you might check the pacing of your demonstration and repeat it by saying something like, "I know there's a lot of steps involved in this. Let me show you again in slow motion." After the second demonstration, recheck Mildred's understanding. To provide an atmosphere of success, ask, "Did you want to see that again before you try?" So, step number four is, as you do your demonstration, look at your resident's eyes, facial expression, and gestures to check for attention and understanding. Repeat the demonstration, if needed, at a slower pace. Question 6. During your demonstration, check for your resident's what? Question number 7. Repeat the demonstration how? Step number 5, active participation and added alertness check. Relocate the wheelchair closer to Mildred and assess Mildred's alertness. If you feel by observing her posture, eye openness, eye contact, and facial expression, she is alert enough to transfer without physical assistance, you ask, "Okay, Mildred, are you ready to try?" As she starts the transfer, observe for signs of weakness and faintness. Have her sit back down on the bed if you feel she is not capable of independently transferring. Question 8. Before your resident attempts the ADL, especially if there is risk of a fall, check alertness by looking at what? Step number 6, safety. Of course, regarding safety, keep yourself in close proximity or close to your resident should she or he need physical assistance. Regarding Mildred's transfer, stand close enough to her to slide your arm under her armpit and grasp her forearm should she start to fall. Consult your supervisor for other falls prevention techniques. Also, as an added confidence builder, as Mildred performs the transfer, give verbal instructions as a reminder of the steps in the transfer if you feel she needs them. Use the same single-word instructions you used as you demonstrated. When the transfer is completed, use the skills you've learned in Module 1 and reinforce her independence by creating an environment of success and saying, "Mildred, good job for getting into your chair." Your compliment uses her name, is given immediately, and states specifically what is being complimented. If it has been a while since you have played Learning Module 1, replay it for more specifics on giving the most effective positive reinforcement. Question 9. As your resident performs the ADL, check that what procedures are followed. Now let's review the 6 steps in a demonstration we've just went through so you can apply them to any ADL demonstration. Step 1. Observe the resident's alertness based upon eye openness, eye contact, facial expression, body movement, and speech. Then decide if the resident could benefit from a demonstration. Step 2. First position the equipment or supplies to provide the easiest access for your resident. For example, with Mildred, you place the wheelchair next to the bed on her unaffected side. If you were brushing her hair, you would place the brush on her right side. Second, make sure your demonstration is clearly in the line of sight of your resident, with nothing blocking his or her view. Step 3. Demonstrate using simple words or phrases, then repeat your demonstration more slowly if needed. Step 4. Look at the resident's face and eyes and see if you have their attention and understanding. Step 5. Request the resident to perform the ADL. Step 6. Stay in close proximity should physical assistance be needed. and provide sincere, positive reinforcement or compliments during and at the end of the ADL performance. Question 10. After the resident performs or attempts to perform the ADL, give the resident what? Here's a second example of how a simple demonstration can be used for dressing. Let's say you have a resident with Alzheimer's, Helen. You want her to help put her arm through the sweater sleeve, and she does not understand the verbal instructions that you've given. Step 1. Decide between physical assistance or a demonstration for Helen to put her arm through the sweater sleeve. As you know, all too often, we make the decision to physically assist without even considering demonstration, thus robbing the resident of a chance to have the feeling of accomplishment by doing the task herself. Step 2. Positioning. Make sure you are close enough so Helen can see exactly how your arm slides through the sleeve opening. About 2 to 4 feet, depending upon your evaluation of Helen's eyesight and alertness level. Step number 3, instructions. The verbal instructions you plan for putting Helen's sweater on might sound something like this. Push through the armhole, or slide your arm through, or straighten your arm and push. In the next learning module, number 4, on verbal prompts, we will talk in a very detailed manner about what is commonly known as baby talk, what it is exactly, and how to avoid using it to maintain your resident's dignity. The point to be made here, especially if you have young children that you assist getting dressed daily, avoid a voice tone you would use with your children. Step number 4, check understanding. Look at Helen's eye contact, facial expression, and posture. Does she seem to be benefiting from your demonstration? If not, total physical assistance may be the best for her today. However, if she appears to understand, you might re-demonstrate, taking her sweater and sliding your arm through the sleeve to show her what you want her to do. This might be done at a slower pace to assure success, unless you see by her facial expression and perhaps a head nod that she's definitely got the idea from your first demonstration and may even feel insulted at a repeat demonstration. Step 5, active participation to assure success. Provide physical assistance and verbal instruction as needed. For example, holding the sleeve open wide and bunching the fabric up to make it easier for Helen to slide her arm through will help to assure success. Step 6, safety. Ask yourself, if the resident performs the ADL independently, are there any safety issues you need to be alerted to? For this dressing ADL, most generally for most residents, there aren't safety issues unless Helen has a very rigid arm. End by creating an environment of success and by positive reinforcement or compliments like, "Great, Helen, you got your arm right through the sleeve. Thanks." Here's one last example how to demonstrate a cane for use in ambulation. Let's say you have a resident, Harvey, who bumped his right knee yesterday. He's having problems positioning his cane. It's a new device for him, recommended by his doctor yesterday. He seems to be placing it too far to the side and too far to the front. Step number 1, and the most important to maintain resident safety in this case, when you observe Harvey's walking, is he so off balance or doing such a poor job of walking with his new cane that he should not be walking at all? However, you know, basically he's able to walk and is able to maintain his balance. So you proceed to step 2. Step 2 is after observation to position your demonstration. If you received ambulation instruction as part of your training, you know to show Harvey that his cane is approximately 12 inches beside the outside of his foot and approximately 12 inches in front of his foot. Make sure you check that his line of vision is unobstructed in watching your demonstration of cane positioning. Step 3, single word instructions. A sample single word instruction would be step, cane, step, cane, and so on. Step number 4, check for understanding. With a demonstration like this, pacing is very, very important. You might exaggerate your movements slightly and move very slowly, repeating your demonstration as many times as is beneficial and appropriate. Question 11. How many times should you repeat your demonstration? As many times as what? Step 5. Active participation to assure success. When Harvey tries ambulating, you might help him guide his cane to the correct position while his weight is on his left leg. Remember positive reinforcements like, "Good job placing your cane, Harvey." Also, walk in synchrony with your resident by matching his steps. So, as the resident walks forward, you walk forward with the same size steps. Number 6, safety. In the case of ambulation, as with transfer, safety and falls prevention go hand in hand. Stay close by the handrail, of course, and it goes without saying, Harvey's path should be unobstructed. There are many techniques for ambulation assistance. One of the most commonly used is where you stand slightly behind the resident in a position to slide your arm under his armpit and grasp his forearm if needed. Consult your supervisor for more detailed ambulation information. In summary, regarding demonstration, the 6 essential steps are 1. Observe and decide if a demonstration is appropriate. 2. Position your demonstration for easy viewing. 3. Use single word instructions. 4. Check for attention and understanding. 5. During resident active participation, use single word instructions and complement efforts. 6. Take appropriate safety measures. In short, you need to follow through to do and to get what is necessary to make this information work for you, and to have demonstration be a tool you use with your residents daily. In Learning Module 4, you'll learn about how to use key types of verbal prompts to increase ADL independence. Remember, take action.